At the start of Hebrews chapter 4, in the first parts, it talks about resting. And I know rest is a very important thing, because rest is what really brings the healing power of God. When you rest, it causes the anointing of the Lord to really begin to heal the body. And so rest is really important. But in the days that we live in, especially with the constant temptation of trials and tribulations that we begin to talk about, that the enemy is trying to destroy, and I used that word captivity a little bit ago, because captive people are not free people. When you're captive in some way, then you're not really free. If your feelings are hurt, or if you're going through anxiety, or if fear has overtaken you in some area, then you're captive, praise God. And captivity, and I don't mean to say, praise God, of captivity being good, but I say it in the way of you need to understand that the Word of God is for you, that will get you out of captivity. A lot of people are still having issues, not, you know, in their bodies, where they just kind of get used to some things hurting in the body. And they don't really get a hold of the Word of God and speak to what's hurting in the body. That's what the Bible calls a mountain. When you speak to the mountain and command that mountain. Now, the mountain could be anything, not just some type of sickness and disease in the body, but it could be all kinds of things, depression. Whatever it might be, though, when you speak to it and you command it to be cast into the sea, it's important to, when you read the rest of the scripture, not to doubt in your heart, but just believe that whatever you say out of your mouth is going to come to pass. So how many of you know it's really important to know what you're saying out of your mouth? If you speak to it, command it, and then believe what comes out of your mouth, what's the rest of the verse say? You'll have whatsoever you say. Okay? So you can either agree with what's going on in your body that's negative, that's hurting, or you can speak to it and believe that God's already healed it. All you got to do is receive it. Amen. You see, when the Bible says by His stripes you're healed, you should take that at face value. You are already healed. All you got to do is receive it by faith. Now, if you're moved by your five physical senses, you're in trouble, because you're going to be moved by what you see. You're going to be moved by how you feel, by what you hear. And those five physical senses is not how you're supposed to be moved. Now, they may be some confirmation when you receive healing, but they're not what you're supposed to live by. It doesn't matter if my body is tired right now. When you speak to the body and command the flesh to line up with God's word and have the rest, R-E-S-T, of the Lord, then it's supposed to submit. But if you speak, well, I guess I'm just going to probably get sick because I'm tired. I haven't gotten any sleep. Well, you know, it's that time of year. It's flu season. So I'm sure I'm going to get the flu, but praise the Lord, I'll come out of it. You try to add a little bit of positive to the negative confession. But really, God's trying to tell you there's some ways to not be captive. We should live in divine health, praise God. We should live in divine abundance to the glory of the Lord. We shouldn't be underneath sickness and disease. We shouldn't be underneath, you know, not the confidence that God has for us. No, we should always be on top, because God calls us the head and not the tail. He calls you and I in Deuteronomy to be in front and not behind or underneath the bad things of life. He's constantly telling us if we'll submit and listen to the voice of the Lord, then the blessings of God, Deuteronomy 28, will come to pass. Too many people, though, focus on about verse 15 and down when it talks about not listening to the voice of the Lord that talks about curses. Well, how many of you know you are redeemed from the curse of the law? You're not supposed to, as a believer in Jesus, live. You're not supposed to live under the curse, but yet the curse is still here. You can live in it if you want to, but you don't have to, because you've got the protection of the Lord Jesus, who died a brutal death so that you didn't have to live underneath and behind in all the things of life. No, you need to be ahead. You don't need to be captive. So the Word of God teaches us how to get our lives in such an order that captivity has no dominion over us. You don't have to be captive in any way. Now again, I want you to just understand some things. If you can't quit some addiction, you're captive. And I'm here to tell you, God can free you from that. Ooh, he's powerful. Just that spoken word. So look at this word here. Understanding that the first part of the fourth chapter of Hebrews is talking about the rest and resting in the Lord in different ways. But I want to start in verse 11 that says this: let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Listen to it in the Amplified. Let us therefore be zealous and exert ourselves and strive diligently to enter that rest of God, to know and experience, to enter that rest. The rest of God, to know and experience it for ourselves, that no one may fall or perish by the same kind of unbelief and disobedience into which those in the wilderness fell. Now remember, in the wilderness, when God, they began, remember the children of Israel was just trying to get to the promised land. They needed to get to the other side. Bad things started happening, disobedience. They started murmuring and complaining. Happens in churches, by the way. Get some complaining and murmuring. I didn't even see little Landon. Little bit Landon there. I mean, before you know it, everybody's backbiting and upset over something. You know how many people get upset over you sitting in their seat? Whew, people get killed over that stuff. I'll never forget one time. This is in the ministry, just so y'all can get educated. This is what we call, this is a rabbit trail right here. Going on a rabbit trail. I did a revival for a Methodist church, and it was north in the panhandle of Texas. They invited me in. I think it's Wheeler, Texas. They invited me to come in and do a revival for like 3 days. Well, the first day, because I was created to be a little ornery, I decided to do something. And it was just two sections and a middle aisle. So I said, all right, everybody stand to your feet. Praise the Lord. Thank you for having me. I'm Corey Ross, come all the way from, Level Land, Texas at the time. And I appreciate the invitation, but stand up and get all your belongings. And I said, here's what I want you to do. I want all of you on this side to go to this side, and all of you on this side, let's just change and you come over here. I almost got killed, y'all. Because the lady that was on the front, about the second, it was the second row, she looked at me and said, what'd you say? I said, calm down, ma'am. We're in church. She said, I have sat in this seat for 37 years. And I said, I could tell. It fits you. I said, I was a little ornery, okay? I've matured a lot because it's been about 20 years. Your mom said, no, you haven't. I'm telling you, it was tough, but I finally got her to get over to another seat. But the whole point was getting out of your comfort zone. Because if you don't get out of your comfort zone, oh, you're going to have a tough time living in God's kingdom. Because the Bible says if you're a saved, born-again person, to be led by His Spirit. And He may tell you to do some things that maybe you didn't grow up doing. Maybe you wasn't raised praising the Lord with your hands raised. Maybe you never experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit and you pray in the Spirit in tongues. Maybe you've never laid hands on the sick, according to Mark 16, and see them recover. Maybe you just haven't ever really spoken to the captivity that you're in, and you just don't know if this stuff really works or not. Maybe you've never really even tithed and got into God's economy, and you've just seen a few television preachers that kind of seemed scammy to you. I don't know what it might be, but no matter what, if you're captive in some area, you need to get set free to the glory of God. We've got to start understanding the power of the Word of God. So check out the very next verse 12, after we've already talked about unbelief and disobedience in verse 11, because really obedience and disobedience and unbelief is really why people struggle. That's the reason that it seems like nothing works in your life, is because there might be just little traces of unbelief, little traces of fear, and we've got to get them removed because you're still captive in those areas. So look at what the next verse says. For the word, say word.
Word.
The word of God is quick. So how many would just stop and pause right there, that's a very important thing to know as a believer, that there's something that we live by that is powerful. And the only thing that's going to make you not be captive in your health, in your relationships, in your ministry, in your jobs, in your life, period, something is going to have to intervene. Something is going to have to be more powerful than that thing that's causing you to be captive. And what is it? The Word of God. Look at what the Bible says. The Word of God is quick. It's powerful. That's why they call me a Jesus man, because I'm a word guy. I mean, when that storm was coming, I knew that I had the authority, since Jesus is now at the right hand of the Father. He died for this. He died so that you and I can use His name. And at the name of Jesus, every demon has to flee. At the name of Jesus, every tongue will confess and every knee will bow that He's Lord. We have the authority to use that name. So that's what I did. And I spoke to the storm. Why did I do that? Because I knew the example of Jesus doing it when the storm came and He was in a boat. And He said, "Peace, be still." So I didn't do it and say, "I want to gather everybody up so they can see the power of God in my life." No, quietly, with authority, I spoke to it, and I didn't know that everybody else in here was doing the same thing. They did it in the concession stand because they knew we needed to sell all that food. So I looked at the storm and I said, I'm not going to say dissipate, because we need rain in our land, but I am going to command you to stall in Jesus' name. And y'all know the story.
Amen.
And it stalled. And I kept looking, and it just stayed over Fredericksburg, where my friend Scott Snedeker lives. A little bit of hell. But that's not my business. That's their business to command that hell to leave. Come on, what are we doing? Is we're trying to figure out how to not be captive in a negative way. The Word of God is quick. Now let's just pause this real fast, and I know it's 15 till, and I'll spit out this real fast. If the word is quick, then how many of you know that's what faith is?
Amen.
Go back to Hebrews 11 if you want to. What does it say? It does not say faith is the substance of things hoped for. What does it say? Now faith. And it doesn't say now, comma, faith. It says now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You can have faith that happens now. Now, don't get me wrong, because a lot of it is just all my friends. It's amazing when you just look at the crowd and see people that I had no idea that my friends from out of town, Lano, right? Y'all are here. Thank you for being here. I like doing that. So I'm going to start doing that a lot. So to start interrupting my services. Hey. Appreciate them being here. Where was I? Mountain? Now faith. When you have now faith, though, that changes everything, right? Because things can happen right now. But what I was going to say is, don't let that confuse you, because sometimes you've got to get some junk kind of out of the mind. You got to get the Word of God. So sometimes it don't happen right then, but it can. Sometimes it takes a little bit of you confessing the Word of God so that you can get the fears, doubts, and unbeliefs, the things that you're captive in, out, so that you can receive the engrafted Word, so that you can receive the promises, so that you can receive what God has for you. But we've been conditioned, kind of like dying old. People have been convinced through television and through just life in general, through the confession, that one day you're going to die probably sick. And that's just how people die. They die when they get older. It's usually because of cancer or some type of sickness. And what you then say is, well, if I do die sick, I just pray I don't suffer and I just go on to heaven. Right? And that's how people are programmed in life a lot. And we grew up on that. Well, when I get old. And then the minute you get gray hair and you get a little pain, what does the devil do? Uh-oh. Cancer. Uh-oh. And for you know it, you could get into fear and all kinds of junk. Okay? If you start changing the way you think and understand that the Word is what's it say? The Word of God is quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. You start changing the way you think. Instead of saying, I'm going to die, hopefully I'm going to die a long time from now, but if I do die, I hope I don't suffer. You start changing the way you think and say, and you start saying, no, you know what? I'm going to live a long, satisfied life, and I'm going to die when I'm ready to die. Because really, you're not dying. You're going somewhere. You're going to live somewhere. Thank God this group's we're going to live in heaven. Amen. And what happens is because of the Word of God, you start speaking life. And you start saying, you know what? I'm not going to die of some cancer or some disease, or just because mom, great-grandmama died of breast cancer and mama died of breast cancer. No, you can break that curse in Jesus' name, and you don't have to die that way. But again, we've programmed ourselves with, well, that's just part of it's hereditary, and we're just going to die in that way, and hopefully we don't suffer. No, you know what you need to do? Because of the Word of God, because it's quick, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, you're going to start saying, hopefully, that no, you're going to live a long, satisfied life, and I'm going to die because I have power over life and death in the tongue. And it changes everything. And all of this is because of the Word of God. Now, what does the devil do, though? Well, I've done a lot of bad things in my life. So I sown a lot of bad seed. And my liver, it's not working too good because, you know, had lots of whiskey drinks back when. And I mean, you just get into this talking. And I guess that's it for me. God forgive me, though. You know, and if you keep saying that junk, you're going to die that way. But if you start saying, you know what, Lord, first of all, forgive me. But you know what? If you created this liver, you can make a new one. Because the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So if you can get what's in the heart to be lined up with the word of God, not just get what's up here. That's why I have you put your hand over your heart when we're praying for you sometimes. You've got to get what's up here down into the heart that is lined up with the word of God. Because if you get it into the heart, I'll show you people that begin to speak the word of God with power, and you're not captive in anything any longer. Now, captivity might try to come back on you, but you're going to still continue to speak the word of God. And if you speak the word of God, then there, the heaven is the limit, y'all. The blessing of God is there flowing. All you've got to do is just jump right into it. Just because you're going through a little trial and tribulation, some sickness and some disease, some financial issue, some relationship issue, some confident issue, or whatever it is, why don't you use the word of God and speak to that captivity and command it to be cast into the sea and get some freedom because of a word of God that is quick and powerful, praise God. And if we do that, then we'll just walk, and people will be wanting to get around us like Peter. They're wanting to just get in our shadow so that they can receive the healing power of God. Not because of what you did in your past, because of who you are right now in Christ Jesus. So rise up. Rise up. Get up and begin to know who you are in Christ. Begin to speak the word of God, because again, the word of God is the only thing that's going to change our life. Not just coming to church. The word of God is the only thing that is powerful. Amen. So if you're captive this morning, you could get set free right now because of the power of the word of God.
Amen.
So we've got 6 minutes. I'm watching at the clock. It's a big one. Y'all turn around and look at it. See it back there? Y'all didn't know I looked at that thing, did you? Sometimes I forget to, but whatever the captivity is this morning, let's deal with it real fast and then we'll leave. And I don't know. People don't have to know where you're captive at. If it's a relationship, if it's confidence, if it's just health, finances, whatever it may be, and it might be addictions. Let's just get set free. Whatever it is, let's speak to it right now. Faith is moving. That's what faith is, y'all. Faith is never standing still. Faith is stepping out. So if you're going through some type of captivity, it doesn't matter what it is. It could be depression. It could be suicidal thoughts. It could be just brokenness in some way. Whatever it might be, if that's you, I just want you to stand to your feet and stay right where you're at. And let's get rid of all the captivity. Just stand to your feet. By faith, you just got to get up, and that's how you're going to get set free. The Lord knows what you're going through, even if we don't, and we don't have to know. Listen to me. Every single one of you that are standing, I just want to look at you. Look at you in the eye. You deserve to be free. You deserve it. You hear me? You deserve it. And that's what you got to get into your spirit, man. I deserve healing. I deserve restoration. I deserve to be the best that you've created me to be, God. I deserve to be a son and a daughter of the Most High God. I deserve to be an heir of Jesus and a joint heir. I deserve it. And when you start saying that, people get set free. Put your hand over your heart, y'all. Father, the rest of y'all just stretch your hands towards them, please. Every person that is standing that is captive in some area, set them free now. Come on now, just say it out of your mouth. I'm free. In Jesus' name. Every person that is being tormented in some way, Father, I thank you, Lord, that the adversary is defeated right now in their life. We won't have it any longer. Every person that has their hand over their heart, sir, you know every detail about what they're going through. So I command healing to come to their bodies, restoration, wholeness, confidence, anything that they need, come now in Jesus' name. Amen. Matter of fact, it's here. All you've got to do is receive it. And Father, we are quick to give you glory now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now, everybody that has your hand over your heart, I want you to say out of your mouth. You ready? Look at me. Look at me. You don't have to bow your head anymore. Say, I'm free. I'm free. I'm free. And I'm not living with this. Say it. I'm not living with this any longer. In Jesus' name. Now give God praise. Everybody, would you? All right. Thank you. Thank you. Now listen to me. Don't you go out of here with this, I wonder if it worked for me. No, you go out there with confidence, speaking to it. A lot of times the Bible talks about the enemy coming back, trying to steal the word from you. Don't you let that happen. You keep saying, nope, I thank you, Lord, I'm free. I'm free in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, I'm free. Oh, thank you, Lord, I'm free in Jesus' name. Amen? All right. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord, if there's people here that's not born again, that they'd get saved right now. If people are watching, I thank you, Lord, that they'll give their hearts to you right now. And we just give you praise. With no one looking around, just real fast, and maybe you're here this morning and you don't know what would happen to you if you died and left this earth. The Bible's clear. If you'll confess, Romans 10 and 9, with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and ask Jesus to come into your heart and save you, you'll be saved. Born again. When you leave this earth by having Jesus as the Lord of your life, when you leave the earth and you stand before God, He'll say, well done. Come on into heaven. The question is you, have you asked Jesus to come into your heart and save you? Is He the Lord of your life, or do you not know what would happen to you if you died? You don't know if you'd go to heaven or hell. If you have any kind of doubt, and I'm not talking about you got saved and you backslid, you still are born again, folk. You just need to understand that God's mercy and grace is for you. Forgiveness. I'm talking to people in here that you just never have made Jesus the Lord of your life. And if that's you, you need to today. Don't you dare wait. Don't wait until everything is good in your life, because it never will be. No, you just give your life to Jesus and then He'll make everything good. So if you're here this morning and if you died and left this earth, you don't know what God would say, I want you to pray a prayer with all of us. And I want you to invite Jesus to come into your life so that you will bust heaven wide open when you leave this earth and die. That's the question. Is He your Lord? Is He your Savior? Are you going to heaven when you leave this earth? And by the way, you can have it here if Jesus is the Lord of your life. So what we're going to do is we're going to pray a prayer. Y'all that are watching, appreciate you watching. when you have storms and wind and things like that, you live in the country, it kind of messes with internet service. But I appreciate you continuing to watch and see if you can watch us and it's live. But if not, trust me, we'll fix it. But if you're here this morning and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, we're all going to pray a prayer and we're going to ask Jesus to come into our lives. Now, if you're saved, we're not getting born again. We're just learning the prayer. But just as important, we're going to pray it with someone that we're around that might be praying it for the first time. So if you're here and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, do it right now by praying the prayer with all of us. You ready? Out of your mouth, though, let's say it. Let's say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart. I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is my Lord. Come into my heart and save me, Jesus. Forgive me of all my sins. I pray this to you, the Father. In the name of Jesus, I'm born again. With no one looking around, just real fast. If you just prayed that prayer for the very first time, and I know it's a simple prayer, but I'm telling you, it's powerful. If you just gave your life to Jesus and you prayed that prayer for the first time this morning, with no one looking around, and I'm not going to ask you to come to the front, I'm going to ask you right where you're at to be bold enough to say that was me. I just gave my life to Jesus. I want to give you a Bible, by the way. So with no one looking around, if you just prayed that prayer and you gave your heart to Jesus, when I count to three, I want you to just raise your hand straight up and then just put it right back down. And when you raise it up, you're saying, God, I meant that prayer. Jesus, the Son of God, is now my Lord. And you're not ashamed of it. If that's you, get that hand up at the count of three. Ready? With boldness. One, two, three. Go. Go. Get it up. Thank you, brother. Thank you, man. Appreciate that. Anybody else? I don't want to miss anybody. Praise God. All right, look at me. Love it when someone gets saved. Amen. Proud of you. The good thing is you're now my brother in Christ. You're my sister in Christ. Amen. Love you guys very much. I know everybody's tired from the rodeo, but man, I appreciate you. We'll give you totals for too long of kind of how everything. I do know one thing. At the gate, the attendance and the finances that come in the gate was more than last year. So it's always good to increase. And so love you guys. I pray you have awesome rest as you go home. And that you come back for Tuesday night Bible study and next week. Amen? No, oh, no. Oh, everybody's tired? Got it. I understand. So no Bible study, but we'll come back next Sunday. Amen? Love you guys very much. Stand to your feet. We'll be dismissed. Oh, leave out of here full of joy. Amen? No more captive people. You come across captive people, you know what to tell them. Amen? The Word of God is what's going to save you. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for a great time this morning. Now, as we go rest and get energized back, I thank you, Lord, it won't be a terrible Monday. It's going to be the greatest Monday, full of the blessing of God. And we just give you praise for a wonderful time. Thank you, Lord, for the one that got saved, the two, whatever. We also thank you, Lord, for visitors. And we pray that if they feel like this is a great place to worship, that they would just come back, be a part, and plant. Where you're planted, you grow. But if this is not the church for them, I pray that they find a good Bible-believing church where they can plug in and plant. And we just thank you, Lord, again for all you're doing in our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. Big round of applause. You're dismissed. Love you.